Let's go overseas now. Discord has broken out within Canada's most populous province, Ontario, over its handling of a third surge of COVID-19. Authorities last week announced sweeping police powers to enforce an extended stay-at-home order, but those powers were rescinded after police refused to employ them. The government's science advisers are also furious that their advice is being ignored. Our correspondent Laura McQuillan joins us now from Toronto in Ontario. Good morning, Laura.
Hey there, Corin.
Right, just bring us up to date with Canada. It just sort of been, just seems to have got really bad there.
Yeah, that's right. We've been hearing warnings for a couple of months now that the variants of concern, those ones that originated in the UK and Brazil and South Africa, will have exponential growth. That's been the warning for more than 2 months. And it sort of seemed like it didn't happen until it happened. And I've heard people describe it as Ontario being on fire. So where I am in Toronto, they are moving adults into children's intensive care units. They are shutting down other parts of hospitals to make way for more intensive care beds. They're now looking overseas for ICU nurses to come to Canada to help. It's extraordinary what's happened just in the past couple of weeks, but the warnings have been there all along. And the provincial government now is under so much heat because they've heard all those warnings, but they've just been so late to act. And as you mentioned, their own experts really outraged at what has been announced so far.
So what's the issue with police not enforcing stay-at-home orders?
Yeah, so it's kind of complicated to explain. We've been in multiple levels of lockdown in Ontario since November 23rd. That's when Toronto originally went into lockdown, never got out of it. Now the stay-at-home order, it's not what you'd consider a stay-at-home order in New Zealand, still not as strict as that. But police were given new powers on Friday to randomly stop people in the street, ask why they're not at home, and then give them a ticket for $750 if they think their excuse isn't a legitimate one. But something you need to know about Ontario and Toronto specifically, very multicultural place, has this history of police randomly stopping and carding racialized Torontonians, asking BIPOC people, why are you out of the house, you know, as though they were committing some crime by being on the street. And a lot of concern that this was a return to that. And that's why police forces across Ontario said, we're not going to do these random stops. They're just simply not going to do them. And so within a day, the government had walked that back and did a U-turn on those new powers. It's done a U-turn on another measure, which was to close playgrounds, outside playgrounds, because all its experts are saying, no, we want people outside if they do anything. We don't want them to go inside. We don't want people, you know, inviting people over to hang out with their kids. We want to make sure if things are done, they're done outside and safely. And one of the government's own science advisors on CBC Radio yesterday almost moved to tears by the fact the government has so ignored the warnings from its experts. He thought he would quit, but he was told he should stay and just try and make as much of a difference as he can.
Okay, so Ontario is what, 15 million people? It's by far the largest province or area in Canada. How is the relationship between the Premier of Ontario, what, Doug Ford, and mm-hmm. the Canadian government?
So, I mean, it's a decent relationship, but obviously Prime Minister Trudeau is a Liberal Party leader, so that's the equivalent of Labour. Doug Ford, he's a Conservative leader. So their politics do clash. And another interesting aspect to this is the division of how provinces operate and how the federal government operates. So much of the COVID response is left to provincial governments, including the healthcare system. It's all provincial. So the federal government's role right now is to get vaccines into the country and give them to the provinces to figure out what to do with them. But otherwise, it's kind of hands-off for the Trudeau government. And I apologise for my cat in the background. She's got cabin fever as much as I do at this point. And so you are seeing all this pressure on the federal government to intervene as well. It's set up field hospitals in Ontario. But otherwise, it's saying, Ontario, just let us know what you want. And the Ontario government hasn't really made that many requests, except now it's at the point of saying we need healthcare workers desperately.
So where does this go now? I mean, what are the forecasts for the rate of infection? Is there any sign that it's going to peak?
So some new modelling that came out on Friday suggests we're looking at potentially 20,000 infections a day in Ontario. Right now it's maybe 4,300, and that's a long way to go to 20,000, but that's what the variants do, you know, they spread so quickly. That is the worst case scenario. These public health measures, the new ones, should help blunt that, but we're talking May sometime for a peak at the very earliest.
And there's no way of getting the vaccines faster to mitigate that?
There have been a lot of problems with getting the vaccines to begin with because Canada has to get them from overseas. But the other aspect is you get a vaccination, you wait for your second shot, then you're protected some weeks after that. Canada's actually spacing out the doses of the Pfizer, the Moderna, for 4 months to try and get people vaccinated, more people, but they're only getting the first shot because that's how the rollout has gone here. It's just things have gone a bit off the rails in recent months, and a lot of people scratching their heads about how we got to this point and wondering why political leaders just didn't do what the experts were urging them to do.
Laura McQuillan, thank you very much for that. Our correspondent in Toronto, Ontario.